Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a. Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 28th Shawwal 1442, corresponding to the date 10th June 2021. The topics just gets more interesting. Today's topic is Tarbiyatul Awlad, and that is nurturing of the children. Beloved listeners, in these testing times, you may have many queries and may get them resolved by our senior Mufti, Mufti A.K. Damat Barakatuhu, by sending them through to the number 084-786-3132. And if you are out of SA, then you would dial +27847863132. We have our honorable, respected Mufti A.K. Sahibia. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Maulana Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, in the previous weeks we have been discussing from the child's birth, and now we come to the nurturing of the child. So Mufti Sahib, how important is it to breastfeed a child?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 28th of Shawwal 1442. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Thus far, mashallah, with Maulana Zahid Khan, what are we doing? That 2-3 weeks ago, we had what should be done before the birth, at the time of the birth, and the first day, on the seventh day, the Aqiqah, and all that we discussed. Thereafter, we discussed Asma, that how the naming process should take place and so forth. Now the baby is born, he's growing up, mashallah, she's growing up. So obviously we have the breastfeeding. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of this in various verses in the Noble Quran, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْن. That remember that the weaning period, the maximum period for boys and girls as far as breastfeeding goes is 2 lunar years. So many a time people just say 2 years, but remember the lunar year is 355 days and the solar year, Gregorian calendar, is 365 days. So always you will find there's 9-10 days difference and so forth. So in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse 15, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has spoken about this. Therefore, you the mother, you should breastfeed and take it, you must remember, as your duty, because you must remember that's why the mother, her rank and status is so high and supreme in Islam, that you are the one who carried the baby for 9 months, 8 months. You are the one who gave birth to the baby, to the child, and now you have to breastfeed. All this only you can do, the men can't do that. Therefore, when the Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, Ummak, summa ummak, summa ummak, summa abak, then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, various compilations, your mother, your mother, your mother, then your father. So it shows how great a rank it is, that of our mothers, very, very special, they are irreplaceable. So remember that now, that is 2 lunar years. So that is the verdict of the Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah's own greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, whom we call Sahibain, they also say, it is 2 lunar years. However, Imam Abu Hanifa was a genius. So therefore, Imam Shafi rahimahullah used to say, An-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifata fil fiqh. that the people are children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh and jurisprudence. I take my own example. You know, why take somebody else's? That I know, and I mean, that is what my siblings would tell me, and my mother also would tell me afterwards when we grew up. She passed away in 97. Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus to all our parents, siblings who ever passed away, and Allah Ta'ala bless them with the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus il A'la. So we see that in chapter 46 verse 15, there the verse, the sentence reads, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. So majority scholars, the Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, and Sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah to all of them, they translated like this, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. The minimum period of gestation, the minimum period of pregnancy is 6 months. A lady can't give birth before 6 months. So after 6 months, she gives birth, premature and so forth. And then the maximum period of the breastfeeding is 24 months. So take that 24 and take that 6 months, and then what you say, ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. So that is how you have your 30 months. But Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he says, no. That وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. That the maximum period for breastfeeding also is 30 months. So meaning, in a case like that, so let's take today. Today, 10th of Shawwal. Today, 28th of 10th of Shawwal, we get married. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. I married my wife 10th Shawwal. Anyway, so we must remember that 28th Shawwal, that you have to finish up. But your son, your daughter is not prepared. They want the milk. They have big problem there. So now if you, as a mother, you overgo that limit of 2 years, and that 6 months is like the weaning period, you know, W-E-A-N-I-N-G, that now you are weaning off that child, and you go for 2.5 years. So we will say the fatwa that it is acceptable. In Urdu we say gunjaish here. There is scope for that as well. So you must try and finish up before 2 years or 2 lunar years. But if you go over 1 month, 2 months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I am definitely sure mine went to more than that, you must remember. So definitely the 30 months. So in a case like that, so that also would be permissible. So remember, that is the beauty of having the difference of opinion among the fuqaha and the jurors, that sometimes that you will have this situation. So that lady, she follows the Shafi'i school, Maliki school, Hanbali school, and now the baby wants to be breastfed in 2 years, 1 month, 2 months. So fine, just go over that. So they'll say that now they're following Imam Abu Hanifa, because otherwise their child is going to cry and make noise and dust and all these kind of things. So we should remember that, okay? So that is your maximum period of breastfeeding. Is there a minimum period? And remember, this is for boys and girls, right? There's no difference. So the question we need to ask is this, is there a minimum period of rada'a, of breastfeeding and so forth? So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this question in Surah 4, verse number 23, where Almighty Allah speaks about, you must remember, that which ladies I can't marry, you can't marry as a male, Mona Zahid. We can't marry our mother, we can't marry our daughter, we can't marry our sister, we can't marry our mother-in-law, a wife's mother, and so forth. So Almighty Allah mentions another dimension there, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعَنَكُمْ. And you can't marry your women who breastfed you, you see. So you must remember, she is your foster mother. You can't marry your foster sister. That lady breastfed you and breastfed her daughter. Not necessarily the same time, it can be different times, different places. So she becomes your foster mother, haram for us to marry her. She breastfed another lady, another girl, who is maybe not a daughter, so that also becomes our foster daughter, foster sister. So in a case like that, we can't marry her, we can't marry her daughter, and so forth and so on. Now when the Hanafis and the Malikis, remember that, the Hanafis and Malikis, they look at that, they say Quran Sharif mentioned this mutlaq, unconditional. Wa ummahatukum allati arda'anakum. So that lady who is breastfeeding, so if she breastfed that baby, when the baby was 1 year old, 6 months old, 2 months old, whatever, but 2 years and two lunar years and less than that, so that lay, whether it's one drop or one bottle or 1 liter or whatever it is, so she will become the foster mother and the child will become the foster child. So we clear on that? Now we go to the Shafi'is and the Hanbali scholars. We go to Bukhari Sharif, we go to Mishkat Sharif, Mustana Ahmad. So many hadith kitabs, all almost mention it, all the famous works. Khamsu Rada'atin. That murdi'ah, that lady who's breastfeeding. Now we're not speaking of the mother. The mother is haram, obviously, on the son. So remember, like the father is haram for the daughter. So let's say another lady is breastfeeding. So she have to breastfeed five fillings, five different times, then she will be classified as the murdi'a and the child will be considered as the radi, as the foster son, foster daughter. So after five different times, so that is the verdict of the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis, whilst the verdict of the Hanafis and the Malikis is qaliluhu wa kathiru sawa, whether it is one drop or whether 1 liter or 100 liters or whatever. So in a case like that, you must remember that a lady will become the foster mother, even if it is once only. With this here, I need to mention another aspect and dimension. You see, when the baby is born, then normally there's no teeth. Then after 6 months, they have the milk teeth and so forth. So now if that lady is breastfeeding, so remember, sometimes it will be difficult for her to breastfeed when the baby, that son or daughter, whatever, let's just say son, is now 1.5 years, 2 years old, because you must remember that he can cause harm to her, you know, her breast or nipple, whatever. So in a case like that, so what will happen if she expresses and takes out that milk and puts it in a bottle or in a glass or cup, and from there the child drinks it, the same law will apply. What we're trying to say is not necessary that the baby must suckle, take the milk from the mother's breast. It can be in a container or bottle or whatever, and from there he or she drinks. So you must remember, then also she will become the foster mother, provided that the baby is less than 2 years old or two lunar years old. Only Imam Abu Hanifa says 2.5 years. So these are the basic rulings that you should know regarding that issue.
Mufti Saab, actually the next question was from myself, and our second born, she refused to wean off after 2.5 years. And we said now we're forced to take Imam Saab's call of 30 months.
So that's fine, no problem.
So Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab clarified that. So what can we do to wean off our children from breast milk?
Yeah, you must make dua, and obviously that, you know, you read Surah 46 verse 15, which I just mentioned now. Whenever we have problems, and even if you don't have problems, you, the father, mother, daily you should be reading these verses. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh, Almighty Allah, bring about reform, goodness, piety. So islah, so everything good, Ya Allah, bring that in my children, in my progeny. Surah chapter 46 and verse number 15.
Mufti Saab, a lady says, I stay alone with my baby and I have no one to support me. Therefore, I'm forced to earn money for myself and my child. And when I leave for work, I leave the child with the domestic. I'm not happy with myself, but what can I do to get out of the situation?
Remember that what you are doing is not permissible. In a case like this, that you must realize as a mother, your first responsibility is to your baby, is to your children and so forth. So now when you go and you're going to work, you're going here and there, shop and job and so forth. So first crime is that you're going out. When there's no need for you to do that. So Islamically, so that's haram. Second one is this, you shirking your responsibility as a mother. That's second haram. Third one is you handing over your child to the non-Muslim lady. So that, we won't say it's haram, but it means that so many hours the child will be spending with the non-Muslim lady and so forth. So that is not healthy and so forth. And remember, they can teach them so many wrong things and so forth. Sometimes they can give them haram food or haram drinks and so forth. For them, it wouldn't be a big problem, you know. So they bring their own lunch or own food or own drink or whatever. So you should think of all that. And then worse than that, you see today our people, they take their children and just go and put them in the creche and so forth. No. All the smacks from, we don't want to take the responsibility. Whether it's you, the mother, see the dua in the Quran, that will show you your responsibility. Surah 17, verse 24. Rabbirhamhuma. Ya Allah, this is my father, this is my mother. So they're alive. So now we read, I'm giving example. Rabbirhamhuma. Have mercy on them, Ya Allah. Kama rabbayani saghira. As they made my tarbiyah. So today's program, we call it tarbiyatul atfal, tarbiyatul awlad. The nurturing, the coaching, the training, the bringing up of the children. So, look at the word Rabbayani Sahira. So it means that the mother must play her role, the father must play his role, and so forth. So what are you going to do, O Zainab, O Fatima, Jamila, Aisha? So in a case like that, you speak to your family that, you know what, me, I don't have real financial resources and I'm down and out and I got a child, I got children, so you have to help me. But in today's world, sometimes the family also just turns away and they don't want to help you. Then the community must come to your assistance. Today, if you take the Muslim Ummah, we have millions and millions to give out in Zakat. But the Zakat is misdirected, to be honest, in most instances. So therefore, in our own community, look for the poor, poor ladies, the poor, poor men. How many of them are just eking out and trying to make a living, and they're really in dire straits. So Islam will not tell you that you must go and work and shop and job and leave your children and so forth. No. Islam will say you stay with your children, and we, the community at large, we must empower you and we must assist you with your rental, your water lights, your food and all these type of things. That is the Islamic way of solving the problem.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the upbringing of our children, what is the most important thing a parent should focus on?
Remember that, let us just juxtapose and compare the two ways. We say Mr. Jack and Jill. So that is now non-Muslim. And we say Mr. Ahmed and Mrs. Aisha. So you must remember the non-Muslim couple and the Muslim couple. So what has happened to us, instead of us being influencing the lives of others, we are being influenced by the others. That is where we are failing in our duty. When people and parents ask me this question, I say, we call this, you know, in our English alphabet, A, B, and C. So, A, B, C. So, C, we call it the C syndrome. Take the non-Muslim culture. So, what will they say? That their son, their daughter must have the best clothes. C, for clothing. Then, when the child grows up, must have the best computer. So you see small, small children, they busy with their laptop and they busy with their computers and busy with their tablet and the, so C for computer. So my son, my daughter must have the best, you see, like that. Then C, CDs, you see. How many CDs they got and C there? That number C. Then another C, cash. They will tell you, I don't want a father, mother, I don't want all these coins. You must give me paper money, you see. So we already taught them that. Then they grow up, you see, small, small light-tickies, children. And another C, cell phone, you see. So C, clothing, C, computer, C, CD, C, cell phone, C, cash. So we gave them all those things. Then when they grow up, we gave them a car, you see. So all this we gave. But the question we need to ask, what did Rahmatul Alameen, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? The Master alayhi salatu salam, Allah said in the beginning of Surah Noon, after you must remember Surah 69, after Surah Tabarakalladhi, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. And your character, Ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam, is so sublime and so exalted. Innama bu'istu mu'allima. I have been sent as a teacher for humanity and posterity. Innama bu'istu liutammima makarim al-akhlaq. I have been sent here to show you the great character and so forth. So put all that seas one side. So the parent must ask, did they teach that son or daughter of theirs good character? See, there we fail miserably. Ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. Open me a Tirmidhi Sharif. O father, O mother, which is the best gift? You can teach your children, call it morals, call it manners, call it character, call it your ethics, whatever you want to call. So we say character. So that is where our Muslims are failing. And now you come to the Muslim. What was he supposed to do? That was supposed to be his priority number one. That our baby, our son, our daughter is a sponge in our hand. So that sponge, whatever you call. So remember, absorbs everything. So you, father, mother, you have to be examples to your children. You understand? Father walking around there with his shorty pajamas, the mother walking around there with her nighty, half naked, and all these type of things. So what is the unintended consequences? The unintended consequences is this, that you are showing your children that might not be your intention. Therefore, I say unintended consequences. But you are showing your children whose eyes and ears are very small, but they absorb everything. That haya, shame, modesty, morality, that is negotiable. It doesn't matter. You can. So already we're sending the wrong message. That haya, shame, modesty is not so important. Allah forbid. One. Number two, that when we come, now we are growing, they are growing up. We know the adhan is going. What is the mother doing? She's chatting with her neighbor, the neighbor's wife, the neighbor, the man, or whoever. And it goes on and on. Woman, you can't stop them from talking. The way they will talk for hours and hours. Panchat, they love, you must remember. The men, they love their sports. They love their others. So all. So what message are we showing? That salat, adhan is all negotiable. You read is all right, you don't read is all right. Now see, for you, my mother, for you, my sister, what the jurors wrote, what the fuqaha wrote, that you know you are 25, 30, 35 years old, so you are still in your menses. So the month passes, your habit is 5 days, 6 days. The jurors and the fuqaha and the scholars wrote, when it is salat time, O Ummi, O mother, go make wudu. The wudu is not compulsory, but it will send the right message to that masoom children. See my mother every day 1 o'clock, every day 4 o'clock, every day Maghrib time, sunset, she goes make wudu. Then you are haiza, you go sit on your musalla. There's no salat for you, no ada, no qada. But you're sending the right signals out. So that is now you're building the frame, the mind, and the influence it has on the child. But when you already undermine the haya, you already undermine the importance of salat, you already undermine that smoking and all that, that is just, the Maulvis are talking and all that. We can smoke, we can do what we want to. So every action of ours, look at our interaction with our children and see. And let me make another, you know, I like to be frank and honest. We don't have children. But if we had, then this is what I should have tried to do. Whether we do, don't do, Allah alone knows. But I should have tried to do this. According to me, that to send our children to the schools today, you can call it government school, Muslim school, Islamic, whatever. I don't think we are really doing justice to our children. Why? If you just look at the curriculum and you look at the syllabi today, what do they teach? You must remember that what the West has brought about in America, Europe, slowly it comes here to South Africa, it comes to Africa. So now they want to already put the agenda. You saw today, I sent out something. All of you must protest, you must remember and raise your objections. That and your cutoff time is end of June, 30th June is the last day, so start from now. That they want you, that you must start accepting gay brigade. You must start accepting that it's not important to lead a pure life and a chaste life. If you have boyfriend, girlfriend, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve, all that is acceptable. From a young age, they want to drum that in the child's mind. So are we not sending our children to brothels? Are we not sending our children in the lion's den, where everything of theirs will be compromised? Their religion will be compromised. Their haya will be compromised. And the Muslim school, because they just going to add some Muslim Islamic subjects to it, but the curriculum will remain the same, because they want that matric certificate. That is what they want. So are we not sending our... You have to answer this. Are you not sending your children to the lion's den? Are you not sending them to the brothels in the high school and university and all these type of things? You think properly about it. How many of our sisters, how many of our brothers have lost their virginity in these places? How many of them have lost their haya and shame and modesty in these places? How many of them have lost their iman and become murtad and left the fold of Islam? You know, you listen to the program and you see what is happening. A 15-year-old boy, the other day, yesterday, day for yesterday, the boy, 15 years old, say, I'm murtad, finish, end of the story. This is, we're not speaking from our thumb, we're speaking al-fiqhul waqi, what is happening now in front of our eyes. So you, as a father, as a mother, and you're really concerned about the upbringing of your children, so Quran teaches on one verse, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif is teaching us one verse. What is the Quranic verse? Surah 66, verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, hu anfusakum wa ahalikum nara. Oh, you who believe, save yourself, save your children from the fire. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. That each one of you is a shepherd and you will be questioned regarding your flock. So the question we have to ask, is it not better I do homeschooling for my children? When I went to America in 2000, I went twice in 2000 to America. Once I went with my friend Yusuf Dokrat, he passed away, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. And once I went with my wife after that. So I have to investigate all these things here. So some Muslim parents, they used to do homeschooling because they realized that the environment in the school is a hostile environment. It's a toxic environment. And today it has come to South Africa. So you as a parent have to think properly. Where does our priorities lie? I give you examples in my life. That brother, I don't mean my brother, I'll just say one brother. He excelled. He got this degree, this degree, this degree, this degree, everything he got. He was earning millions, you understood. His father or mother passed away. So I told him, come, we go there, we read Surah Yasin. We read some Quran for your mother and so forth, or father. They look at you in the face. They can't read one, two surahs properly for their parents. But the parents invested millions in them. So is that son really an asset to you? Is that daughter really an asset to you? Be honest about this. Because their name is Ahmed, Muhammad, Bilal, whatever. But the thinking and thought process is exactly the same of the kuffar. That daughter of ours, her thinking, thought process, exactly Maryam, but Maryam thinks like Mary. So that is where we are the guilty party. That is a thing called input-output. What was the input when they were in their formative years? What did we give them? You know myself, I just give you that I was becoming a Hafiz. And I came out first and second in my school, you know, in my standard 2, standard 3. That time we called grade 1, grade 2, and then standard 1, standard 2. I still remember standard 2, standard 3, I came out first, second. In the top 3 I was. But when I started my Hafiz, then my Ustad told me, you know what, next year you must leave school. Whatever you say, you know. So then I told my parents, Ustad say we must leave school. So they said, fine, Ustad say you must leave, finish. So subhanAllah, you leave school. Then when I went back, they gave me double promotion and lot of stories and all those kind of things. So the point I want to make is this. So why not we get our priorities right? You understood? And then see our investment in our children must be investment for this world and the year after. That is the good Muslim parent. Today what we have done, today you ask the Muslim lady, you ask your Muslim sister, why must your daughter go to university? 80%, 90%, they'll say, you know, nowadays we don't know. Maybe she get married, her husband divorce her, or her husband passes away, then what will happen to her? Now look at that rationale and thinking. You see, that is exactly the non-Muslim thinking. So therefore, we as parents, we have to make a lot of dua. We have to be some examples for them. And you have to monitor all these gadgets they got. Cell phone. 5-year-old boy, 4-year-old daughter, 6-year-old. They're running around with cell phones. And they got bigger cell phone than their parents also. Say, see my cell phone. So I also laugh, but what can I tell them? The parents are giving them these things there. So you must remember this. What need is there to give them? And he or she presses 1-2 wrong buttons and then see where and where they land up. And then they get addicted to this and their whole life is gone. So think properly, parents. I'm just here to give you advice. وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ Anbiya used to say, we give you advice, but you don't love the advice. You still will do what you feel to do. So we're not against education. Get that out of your mind. I am the first one to say, educate your sons, educate your daughters, everything. But not at the price where we lose our iman, our faith, where we lose our haya, our shame and modesty, where we lose our character and our orientation and direction. That is what's happening today. Therefore, we object so much on it.
We welcome our listeners back to this program. And the next question we have is, company is important, Mufti Saab. So which friends should they mingle with?
That's very, very important. See what the Quran Kareem teaches us. That the Quran teaches us on the day of Qiyamah, some people will be saying, Ya laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. That how I wish I did not take that person as my friend. Imagine. But alas, it will be too late. You must remember that. Ya waylata, laytani lam attaqid fulanan khalila. Surah Furqan, chapter 25 and verse number 28. So woe to me, how I wish I did not take him. Because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. A person will follow the habits of his friend. And فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَا مَا يُخَالِلْ Watch out with who you are mingling, associating. Now we are in 2021, 1442 Islamically. Now we go back 50 years. You understand? So you must have, we were playing soccer with us. So Saturday afternoon, Sunday is the big match going to take place. You know? So I can still remember vividly. In our team 50 years ago, the youngsters there, they're pulling Daha. They understood. And this. So, Alhamdulillah, we never ever touched these things here, never in our life with Allah's help. So now we ask these guys, but for what you pulling? He say, you see what I'll do. What kind of goals I will score? The first half, if you know soccer, they play like a champion. And second half, they'll score own goals. You understand? Like midcaps, they don't know what they're doing. You understood? Half drunk, like, you know. So imagine that is 50 years ago. Where are we now? So you must monitor where your son is going, where your daughter is going in the weekend. Now this weekend, where your son is going. Say, no, I'm going fishing. The fishing he means and the fishing you understood is different. Your husband is going golf. Where is he going? Allah alone knows. So your golf, he's picking what is different. And what you understand is different. The daughter is, no, I'm going to my friend. And then we as parents also, common sense is not common, that you say, no, never mind, you can sleep over also. Now imagine our daughter growing up 13, 14, 15, 16. She's baligha, she's attractive. Whether attractive or not is not the issue. But I'm just saying for this example I want to give. Now we tell her, yes, yes, you go there to your friend's house. Never mind, you go, it's Saturday night, you can even sleep there. Now who is there to see what is happening that Saturday night? That her girl, her friend, she's a daughter, and that guy got a daughter, and that person got a son. Now the son will come, start tuning up your daughter. So how we allow all these things? So think, then we the one to say, okay, my daughter fell pregnant, my daughter ran away, all this. But who initiated it? So therefore, all these gadgets we got, internet at home, phones we got, all the computers, you must monitor it as parents. Then with who they mingle, associate, because there's a thing called peer pressure. You understand? I know very well, we also went to school, we also went to university, we also in that environment, we're not living in some other planet. So it is just Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy, Allah saved us from all these things here. Said, what happens now is party time. How many Muslim boys, every weekend they gone to a different party? Now it's come to the Muslim girls. My one student, I won't take his name, but many of you know him. He's running a rehab, you know. I'll even mention where he's running it. So he's running here near Roshni in the Deer. I get his name also, no problem. Maulana Riyaz Dimbala. Maulana Riyaz Dimbala is my student. And he's running this. And it's particularly specifically for girls, for ladies. Sometime he comes here, or I meet him, or I phone him, we contact and one another. So I asked him, how's things going? He'll say that things are just going bad to worse. You must remember that. How many Muslim girls are involved in drugs? How many involved in alcohol? How many of them involved in partying? Sleep with this guy, sleep with that guy, sleep with... I'm speaking of Muslim girls. So what do you think about the boys? Much worse. So therefore, parents, if we don't know what's happening, no, you must be broad-minded. We're not living in Sahaba's time, and this time is a new South Africa. So fine, if that is your attitude, and then your daughter, your son leave the fold of Islam, Allah forbid, they lose their virginity, they lose their direction, then who is to blame? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the son, the daughter commit zina, fornication, fa innal ithma ala abi. Go open Mishkat Sharif. Then the son will be on them, that son, daughter, but on the parent as well. Because you encouraged it, or you just connived, and you just turned a blind eye to it. Everybody is doing it. See that Maulana's son, he's also busy. So see this one, see that. We try and justify the vices. Remember, that is unacceptable. So therefore, we need. Now, how are you going to? You see, for your children, you have to give a better alternative. So how are you going to give? They bursting with energy. So you must give them that better alternative. So why not teach your sons how to swim? Why you don't teach them horse riding? Why you don't teach them archery? Why you don't buy books for them? Or today, computers and this. You know, when I was studying Karachi, every day I used to read one book. One book complete I used to read. Because I used to say, I must learn Urdu properly so I can lecture in Urdu. So I used to take Hazrat Mufti Shafi's books, I used to take the Akabir's books. One book per day I used to read like that. So Alhamdulillah, see today, with Allah's help, how it's helping and assisting. I remember I read this book how many years ago, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, like that. So reading, we must inculcate within ourselves, within our children, iqra, read, read, read. Today this ummah is humiliated. Look at the Arabs. Look at the Muslim countries. Whole lot, without exception, humiliated, disgraced. Why? Because you must remember, they only want to see. Sit there on the couch, take popcorn, take some crisps, take some water, cold drink, take juice, and keep on watching this movie, what you call it, soap opera, and this. So instead of iqra, we say la aqra, I'm not going to read, but I'm only going to watch. So then they become obese, they become good for nothing. Instead of becoming an asset to the community, they become a liability to the society. Think properly what we are doing. We brought all this in. I went to overseas 74. 76, I came back for my first holiday. Pakistan already had TV in 74 and all that. When I came home 76, back to South Africa, it was a holiday. So that was when TV was introduced. The people were gone crazy, man. So they wouldn't eat on the table or the bottom. They would must eat in front of the TV. I just wonder, today where and where it's gone. Sometimes you go to a person's house, sometimes I think I'm dreaming, you know. Before was a small TV, now it became the big TV. Now you go to a person's house, it's like a whole cinema screen, you know, and this type of things there. So the shaitan is getting bigger and bigger in our own homes. So what do you expect then? So we have destroyed the reading culture and introduced the satanic culture. And then we expect our children will become good students. It won't happen. We have to ensure they must be there. For what the ulama are telling us today, take ta'aleem, oh father, mother, and take Riyadu Saliheen, take Hazrat Sheikh's books. You know Hazrat Sheikh? Hazrat Mohana Zakaria Nawalala Markadahu. Go read his Abiti. Some people, they don't know how to pronounce it, Abiti. It's not Abiti, Abiti. Abiti means an autobiography. He wrote himself, meaning he dictated and they wrote. So it's translated in English also. Go read that. Go read Hazrat's books in Arabic, Urdu, all that he wrote. I know one book he wrote. He wrote it in matter of 2 days, 3 days, whole book. And he never slept one night also. Me and you, I don't sleep in the afternoon, my head don't function properly. So see how Allah used them. For nights and nights, they wouldn't sleep. Daytime working, nighttime working, crying, begging Allah. And then Allah made their books today maqbool in the whole world, after Quran Sharif, maybe Bukhari Sharif, I think even more than Bukhari. I'm not saying it's more important than Bukhari. I'm speaking how popular it has become. I've been to so many countries and you'll see the Fazail A'mal is there and so forth, in Spanish, in Portuguese, in what and what languages and so forth. So remember, but look at the sacrifice they did. So we must bring that culture of ta'aleem, of reading in our house. Slowly, slowly you will see we are giving direction, orientation to our children and so forth. But we don't do that. And now we only, somebody passes away, read 125,000 dirhams, read 75,000 dirhams, read 100,000 dirhams. Whether they're reading, I always tell them all these amounts, don't worry about it. Read as much as possible you can. But there's a time we want to read. But when there's no calamity, then we don't want to read. So that is one big problem we have in our life. You have to read and bring the culture of reading in your home, in your house.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what age is the best age to discipline the children?
So that is mentioned in the hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi, Allimuhum inda sab'in. So the first 4 or 5 years is time for playing and us and all that. So sometimes we also go too strict at that time, you know. So let them play and enjoy and all. Say, no, bumastanche and all that. Today my people, my family, they tell me, you know how naughty you were. You know, till today they tell me, you know, understood. They make damal here and trouble here and all these type of things. So that is children. You have to allow for that. But once they become the age of 7, you have to teach them responsibilities. It's salat, you must know wudu, you must know salat, you must know this. Then at the age of 10, they're not baligh. The earliest the boy gets baligh and mature in Islam is 12 years old. The earliest the girl becomes baligha and mature is 9 years old. But that happens very few. Normally it will be 11, 12 and so forth for the girl. And for the boy it will be 13, 14 and so forth. But be that as it may. So at the age of 10, wadribuhum alayya in the ashr. You must discipline them at the age of 10. So what we do, instead of disciplining them, we don't share the love with them. We buy the love from them. Now the son wants to share, speak something. He says, just take this 100,000, just get off from here. I'm very busy. The mother says, just take this and just go from here. So we're not sharing the love. We are buying the love. So that son, that daughter looks at his mother, father. He says, but they're so busy. Busy with their cell phone. Busy with their internet. Busy with their shop. Busy with their job. Busy. So they already feel neglected. There's no love that is forthcoming from the mother or the father. I ask you one question. Be honest. You listening to me now, the esteemed listeners of Radio Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba. When last did your daughter kiss your hand, O father? When last did you as a father kiss your daughter's hand? Did not Nabi alayhi salam do this with Hazrat Fatima? When I go and lecture in the school, this is my famous question. I say, all of you, be honest with me. When last you kiss your mother's hand, your father, look down, 90%. I say, when last you kiss your boyfriend? When last you kiss your girlfriend? Half of them pick up their hands. To kiss the boyfriend, girlfriend, that has become the norm. That it is haram has become the norm. And that which is sunnah has become forlorn. Has become a stranger in our house. Astaghfirullah. You see how, what direction we have taken. To practice on what Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that has become a real stranger, you say, fall on. So imagine, if you practice on one sunnah, you Habibkumullah. You become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Surah 3 verse 31. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Allah will forgive your sins also. So inculcate this. When your children come, kiss their hand. They kiss your hand. Oh father, when last you kiss your daughter's hand? Father will say, he's busy with his secretary. What, he got time to kiss his daughter's hand? So that is the shaitaniyat we have brought in our families today. Then we say that we don't get good spouses. You know the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law stories and all this kind of things. Yeah. But why all this has happened? Because in life, kama tadinu tudan is hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as you're going to treat others, so you'll be treated. If your mother-in-law is going to treat your daughter-in-law just rough and tough and all that, then she will say, hey, me, you can't come treat me like this. Me, I'm packing up, I'm going. But if you treat her with love, how you treat your daughter, see the same mistake daughter will make, daughter-in-law will make. The daughter will make, the mother will say, hey, you don't worry, man. I tell you, I understand. Daughter-in-law will make, they say she's good for nothing. See, that is where all the problem. Similarly, the other way, the daughter-in-law, her mother will do wrong. She will cover it up. Mother-in-law, she'll go tell the whole town. Say, my mother-in-law got no akal. You understood? So that is where all the problems come about. We have too many double standards. So these are issues, husband-wife. Dad, let me just finish this. We've got 3-4 minutes now while I'm on this topic. Selection of a spouse. You, as a father, mother, your children are growing up. You have to start teaching them when they are 13, 14, 15. Today they know everything when they're that age. You have to tell them, start praying from now. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses, grant us such children. Today your children are 15, 16, 18. They speak of getting married. They're nadan and totally naive. But they speak of getting married. So you must tell them, fine, you want to get married, read 2 rakat salat, read this dua daily. And don't make the criteria the mal and the jamal. Always remember these two words. The biggest problem we face today when it comes to marriages and selection of spouse is the mal and the jamal. Now this person say, my father also is working so hard, but we know we can't enjoy life. I also want to drive a smart car. I also want a smart house. I want a smart phone. I want to go overseas. I want to do this. Best thing I get, one nice millionaire's daughter, you see. So already the intention is tainted, polluted. The hadith in Muslim Ahmad says, you married that lady solely only for her wealth, for innama azallahu Allah, Allah will disgrace you. After 1 year, 2 years, you see what happens and so forth. So Jamal, you only married her. Now this morning, I was teaching my students, 4 of them were here. So I did one hadith and it came, Dajjal will appear ala himarin aqmar. So I said, see, One is a doctor, one accountant, businessman, teacher, this, this, and all. So I said, see, Dajjal will emerge with a big, big white donkey. You see, I said, donkey, Allah alone knows, we can't say. And his authentic hadith, open Mishkan Sharif, that maybe it can be a white Cadillac, white Rolls Royce, white, Allah alone knows, you know, but the word himar is used, donkey, so white. So I said, see, Dajjal also used the white, but he still remained Dajjal, the enemy of Islam and Almighty Allah and Nabi alayhi salam. So today, we just look at Jamal, she must be fair. And no haru, she got akal, don't have akal, she have haya, she don't have, she can bring children up or not. We're not bothered about that. Then we say that now my marriage is very bitter and sour and then rocks and all that. But the choice we made, did we really think that she is belonging to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah? You see that the lady you married became a Shia, she was a Shia, she was a Qadiani, she was a Aga Khani, she... Her beliefs are corrupted. What she's going to teach your children? It's not even permissible for you to marry her. So imagine all these things here. So therefore, Ummah, we all want, everybody will tell you, the Ummah must come right. The Ummah will come right when we come right. If we change for the better, then the Ummah will come right. But we don't change, so how the Ummah will come better? So these are just pointers and some guidelines, inshallah. We hope it will help the Ummah, inshallah. Just now is the news time, so let me just read, inshallah, all the programs. 12 o'clock will be news with Moana Zahid Khan, inshallah. And then 5 past 12 or so, Brother Lamin Templeton. And that will be the current affairs till 1. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30 will be report back. Our trip to Johannesburg and very interesting, all that is a repeat. That 1:30 to 2 is Surah A'raf, chapter 7, verses 191 to 198. 2 to 3 will be Madrasa on A. Mamona Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. And then number 3:35 to 5 will be Brother Alamin Templeton. And then, inshallah, after 5 to 7 will be Mamona Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. And then 7 to upper 7, the repeat of last week's khutbah, that was a good khutbah by Sheikh Salih bin Humaid. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be that Maulana Yunus Patel's advices. And you know that tonight is Jumu'ah, so read abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. And inshallah, 8 to 10 will be Maulana Arafat, Maulana Salim Karib. Make dua for Maulana Arafat, Allah give him shifa and so forth, Allah make easy. And then inshallah, that there will be a program, Urdu lecture, inshallah. So with 10 to 11 will be, mashallah, Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki, not Urdu lecture, English lecture. And inshallah, 11 o'clock will be white hair appearing by Maulana Yusuf Mangera. So wonderful programs. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Jazakallah khair to you, Mawzaid. Inshallah, my brother Bonface will prepare the podcast. In the afternoon, we'll send it out, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Muftisa, for those beautiful advices. We will end now and go on to the news. Wassalamu عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. شكراً يا ربي
شكراً. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.